I hope everybody set some goals for themselves. We do. And Gerda and I, every year, we set some goals that we like to see accomplished by the end of the year. And sometimes we make it, sometimes we make some of it. Sometimes we set them a little high, but it's better to attain to 90% of it than to accomplish 100% of no goals. That helps us grow. When we set some goals and we say, this by the end of this year, this is what I want to see. And there are some goals for finances. There are some goals for health. There are some goals that God gave you that you need to work on. You know that Jesus had a goal when he came to earth. He had a goal. There were some things that he wanted to accomplish. And the Apostle Paul had some goals. We're going to learn some things from him. And look at the goals that he had. And obviously, when we make some goals, there are going to be some challenges. Amen. I won't ask who likes a challenge, but every hand should go up. Because that's how we grow, right? Amen. If we don't have challenges, then we just vegetate and fossilize as Christians. We don't want to become fossils. There's a lot of those in the world. We don't want to join them. It's going to be an uneasy morning. No, it won't. No, it won't. You can relax. When I worked in the bank, every year we had to hand in our goals for the year. Every year we had to do it. And they always told us to build some stretch into them, which means don't try to accomplish what you already accomplished this year. Try to do more. But put some stretch into it. You have to stretch to reach them. You have to grow to reach them. You have to exercise some faith. And by the end of the year, we were called in, and then we looked at what we said at the beginning of the year and how well we did. Now, that was a very important thing because your pay raise depended on that. So that was a very interesting exercise. Now, I believe that every one of us has a goal that God has given us. Nobody's here without a goal, because the fact that you are here tells me that God made you for something. The Bible says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the fact that you're alive tells me you have a goal. And if you don't know what it is, I suggest you put some work into finding out what it is. Because there's going to be a day when you will stand before the Lord and his judgment seat, not to judge whether you, if you're saved, whether you go to hell or heaven, but he's going to judge you according to how you accomplished your purpose in life. And there will be rewards. Did you know that? There will be rewards in heaven. And you don't want to become there just one of the foot soldiers, right? Eternity is a long time. You want to spend it well. Am I in the right church today? Okay, let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Somebody told me a few years ago, you always talk about challenges. And I thought, well, yeah, maybe it's true because I'm always challenged. I have to share some of that with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we read from verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win them more. We begin to see his goal. that I might win them all. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. There's the goal of the Apostle Paul's life. He was obsessed with winning souls. And he did everything that he could, whatever it took, he did to save some. He didn't count the cost. He just did what it took to get to some people. And you look at the Apostle Paul and his persona and how and all the revelations that he brought us that we have in the New Testament, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and you look at the big man. And he said, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win some of them. He even said, although he wrote three books against the law, against going back into living under the law, he said, for those that are under the law, I become as one under the law. No price was too high for him to reach his goal. No price was too high. He didn't count the cost. He didn't count the cost. Now, when we talk about goals and reaching goals and building some stretch into it that can help us grow, there will always be a cost. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Oh, growth doesn't come cheap. Oh, you pay for that. You know, the gospel is free, but that's the only thing that's free. From there on, you pay. You want to grow in Christ, you're going to pay for that. It will cost you. It will cost you some friends. It will cost you some things that you like. It will cost you some habits that you need to get rid of. It will cost you adapting some new habits that you don't like. But it will cost you. It will cost you. If you don't set any goals, then I want to predict today that there'll be no growth at all. And we cannot afford even to think about the world that we live in, to make it through this world without growing our faith in Christ, without growing closer to Him and rising up spiritually so that we can not only make it, but grow and excel in this world that we live in. The Bible says that when darkness falls on the earth and deep darkness on the people, your light has come. Amen. You rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. God's glory will be seen upon us when the world's glory disappears. That is our time. This is our time as this world is fading away and dealing with problems and challenges that there are no solutions for. I want to tell you, there are no solutions for the stuff the world is dealing with today. But we're not of this world. And we don't live according to the systems and the principles of the world. No, we live by the principles that will always put us over. And we can win and should win. And look forward to win. Now, Paul goes on as he sets his goal, and he tells us a little bit of it. He goes on to talk about how to reach your goal. Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Now, the race that we run is not against other people. The race that we run is against our flesh. You compete with yourself. We don't compete with other people because we don't have their purpose. We are unique. Everybody's unique. But we run against our own flesh. Apostle Paul says, sin dwells in our flesh. Our flesh wants to be comfortable. Our flesh doesn't want to do the will of God. Our flesh never, you can never trust your flesh with anything. Your flesh will always cause you to stumble if you yield to it. If you listen to its demands and its cravings, it will always lead you into trouble. Your flesh doesn't want to be disciplined because it wants its own way. Oh boy, and we know that if we begin to follow the flesh, where it takes us to. If you haven't found that out, you will. So that's the race that we run. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. When you get to the end of your life, and you say, well, I had a good life. I had a comfortable life. I did everything I wanted to do. I did it my way. That's not a great way to die. But when you come to the end of your life and you say, and you can say, I have won over the demands of my flesh. And come to the place where the Apostle Paul came and he said, I have crucified, my flesh is crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. Boy, what an entrance into eternity would that be? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Temperate in all things. It says in the margin, exercise a self-control. You know, if you want to attain goals, you'll have to exercise some self-control. Discipline. There's a lot of things. Let me tell you, there's a lot of things in this Bible that I don't like. I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things that I don't like. But for me to do it, I have to exercise self-control. It's not part of my nature to do some of the things we have to do as Christians. It's not part of our nature. We force ourselves. We force ourselves. We create habits that will lead us into some good things. Before we were in ministry, I worked in the bank, as you know, and I worked late days, often worked weekends. But Bible says, "Don't neglect your coming together." And there were days when I came from the bank, not home, but to prayer meeting in the middle of the week. I had to force myself to do that because I wanted to grow. I wanted to grow. I didn't go for the easy life. I wanted to grow in the things of God. I didn't count the cost. I remember one evening I was in my dad's church. And I came from the bank straight to the prayer meeting. And they were already singing. I was late. And my father walked over to me. And he said, are you preaching tonight? Well, I was not used to preaching. And there was no way I could argue with him. I got the job. And I had to do it. But you know what? That helped me grow. It was a challenge. But it helped me to grow. There are some things that we have to exercise self-control if we want to reach our goals. We discipline ourselves to reach the goals that we want to reach. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. I run not with uncertainty, which means I am going to do what I want to do. That goal, I'm going to reach it. It's not a maybe. It's not a what if. This is the thing I'm going to do. By the end of next year, this is going to be the situation in my life. This is where I want to be. Now, there are goals that we have for life. I believe when we talk about purpose, purpose is an expected outcome. That when we get to the end of our lives, there's a certain outcome that we want to see realized. When I get to the end of my life, there are certain things that I want to look back on and say, I've done it. I've done it. The best way to die is to die empty. No more dreams. No more goals. We've done it all. I'm off to go. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Die empty. What a frustration it must be when we get to the end of our lives and we realize, I haven't done the things I had to do. Life was too short. I wasted life on things that didn't matter. And it's gone. So now you don't have to, because I'm telling you. Are you going to think about some things and say, this is what I want to accomplish for God. This is what I want to do. This is how where I want to be at the end of my life. We don't run with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. No, we want to hit the target, right? I don't want to just beat the air and then exhaust myself and not accomplish anything. No, I want to beat a few knockouts before I'm out of here. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. He says, boy, I'm after these people. I'm traveling the world, Apostle Paul said. He went through difficult things. We looked through it the other day. He was beaten with rods, unfairly. Without having gone to court and being convicted, they just beat him. 3 times. 40 stripes minus one. 3 times 39. Put into jail. Being persecuted by his own people, persecuted by the Gentiles, shipwrecked 3 times. I mean, this man went through some things. When you go through some of that, you say, well, I don't think God is in all of this. No, he set his goal. He says, and this is what I'm going to do. And I don't count the cost. I'm going to do what God called me to do. And he knew what that was. He saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. Now, most of us don't have that privilege. I knew God called me at an early age, but I always said, I will go into ministry when I had what the Apostle Paul had. I want to have that call that he had. Well, it didn't come that way. It didn't come that way. I didn't have that. But it was clear enough. It was clear enough. I didn't have to have what he had. And so he went on, and he did what he was called to do. And it cost him. It cost him a heavy price to accomplish his goals. But you know, life is so short. Why not spend our lives on that thing that God created us for? That was a good place to say amen, by the way. Who wants to live a life that's empty? No. No, we want to feel life accomplished. We didn't come to struggle, to survive and die. That's not why we came. We came to accomplish something, to establish some things for our own generation and at least the next. And add purpose to our lives. Make our lives count for something. I didn't come to be a liability to society. I hope to be an asset to society. To raise our kids to be assets to society, to contribute to society, and be valuable, and in that way be a worthwhile witness of what it means to be a born-again Christian. Because most people think we're just religious nutcases. And if we don't mean anything to society, that's what they think. But we are well equipped to make a difference. We are well equipped. And we're in touch with the source of all power and all wisdom and all strength and all authority. And we can do what God called us to do. God will not call you to do something that you cannot do. He will only call you and equip you to do what he wants you to do. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is impossible. We can do it. We can do it. Sometimes we're so modest and humble that we can't do anything at all. You sit around because we're so humble that we don't think we can do anything. Oh, no. No, we need to understand when we're the handiwork of God, God made no failures. When he recreated you in Christ, you became somebody that can do the work that he planned for you beforehand. Right. You can do it. We're not called to sit around and wait for pension. Wait for retirement. I hope when we retire that we have more time to do what we ought to do. The best thing we can do when Jesus comes, either when he comes to take away the church or when he comes to get us one by one, is to be busy. Amen. When he comes. Be busy with what he wanted us to do. First Adam showed us how to fail. God gave him an assignment and he failed. But God had another Adam. The last Adam. He came and showed us how to win. He came on the earth. He went through the same temptations the first Adam went through. But he did not fail. He won. He kicked him out. Is what the first Adam had to do anyway. He kicked him out. First Adam had to kick the serpent out of the garden. But he didn't. He was so emotional about his wife that was deceived by the serpent. And he knew that God said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. He did. He said, I'll just die with you. Doesn't help to be emotional about some things. If we want to accomplish our goals in life, boy, you have to have a clear head and a mind that is renewed to the Word of God, that understands the will of God, that will do the will of God. And there will be a lot of emotional pain and disappointments along the road. Let me tell you that. And I told you many times, if you want to be a Christian, you have to grow a thick skin. Don't be offended. Don't become offended. If you're easily offended, you'll never make it as a Christian. I'll be honest with you. You'll never make it as a Christian. You have to grow a skin like an elephant. You want to make it as a Christian? Don't be offended. Because the first people that will knock you down are the ones closest to you. They'll disappoint you and hurt you and make you walk away from your own purpose. And if you show the devil your weakness, he'll hammer on it until you walk away from it. Oh, we're here to accomplish some things for God. The second Adam came, the last Adam, I should say, he came. And the thing with him is, He knew from the beginning what he was going to go through on the cross. He knew from the beginning. The cross was no surprise to him. He knew what was coming. He knew that sinless as he was, all the filth and the disgusting things of humanity would be put upon him, and he would have the wrath of God released upon him for that. He knew that. You read Psalm 22, you'll get some more graphic information of what he endured on the cross. It's written there prophetically. His body was ripped open. You could see his bones. He knew what was coming, but he had a goal. He came with a goal. Let's quickly go to John 17. Boy, I tell you, what a Savior we have in the last Adam. John 17. I won't read all of that. Let's just read verse 4. John chapter 17 and verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I finished it. How do we glorify God? By finishing the work that he gave us to do. I tell you, we in Christianity, we have some ideas that we need to straighten out. We think we glorify God when we sing together on a Sunday morning. I want to tell you, we glorify him by doing the work that he gave us to do. And it's costly. He said that just before the cross. And we know that just before they came to arrest him, that he prayed in the garden and said, Father, if it's at all possible, take this away from me. He knew exactly what was coming. He was part of the plan to save us from God's wrath. He was part of the plan. He knew what was coming. If it's possible, if it is your will, it wasn't God's will. He didn't back away from that. He went through the whole thing. How did he do that? How did he do that? This is where we learn from him. The Apostle Paul comes and he says, oh, this is how you win. You discipline your body. You're temperate in all things. Exercise self-control. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Don't be distracted by the shipwreck. Don't be distracted by the beatings. Don't be distracted by time in jail. Don't be distracted by people that reject you and hate you and stone you and all of that. Don't be distracted by that. Keep your eye on the goal. Exercise self-control. Jesus comes and he talks about the same thing. He gives us some good things to learn from Hebrews chapter 2. And we're first going to pick up on the goal that Jesus had for his life. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This, I believe, was his goal, to bring many sons to glory. Well, you know, when the Bible talks about sons, it also talks about daughters. That was his goal, to bring many sons to glory. Now, can you imagine looking at humanity? A bunch of sinners, filthy, running away from God. Romans chapter 3 talks about that, the state of man without God. failing at everything, and looking at them and say, I'm going to turn many of you into glory. You look at that and say, well, can that be? It's going to cost you to do that. Jesus said, in his conversation with the Father, he said, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will. It is written in the volume of the book. It is written about me. I have come to do your will. Didn't do his will. He came to do Father's will. And Hebrews talks a little more about that in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Reading from verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, that weight is all the distractions, all the temptations, all those things that compete with you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Endurance. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He kept his eye on the joy that was set before him. What joy? I'm going to bring many sons to glory. He just kept on looking at that. Many of these sinners here, they're going to be sons of glory. They're going to be sons of glory. And while they were beating him and punishing him and killing him on the cross, that was what his mind was filled with. Many sons are going to be turned into sons of glory. Many people, sinners, are going to be turned into sons of glory. And he kept on focusing on that. That's how we did it. He looked at the reward. He didn't look at the price. He looked at the reward. And he said, I can go through this. I can go through this because that reward is what I'm after. And so the last Adam came and he showed us how to win. He showed us how to overcome temptation. He showed us how to look past our distractions, past the pain, past the disappointments of betrayal and disappointments in those that were close to him. Look past all of that, kept his eye on the prize. Says, that's the prize that I want to win. And before he went to the cross, he prayed that prayer. I believe that was a prayer of faith. Father, I have done all that you gave me to do. I've done it all. And he reached his goal. And the Bible says, because he was willing to do that, to come and live as a man, serving man, didn't dream of the days when he was with the Father. Didn't count it robbery to leave the throne in heaven and come down as a servant and die as a criminal on a cross. Didn't count that robbery. It says because he did that, God gave him a name above every other name. That at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Boy, I tell you, there's a great reward. And now, we have goals. And I believe we have goals in our personal lives and should have. Looking at the year ahead of us, Let's not look at the economy. Let's not look at politics. Let's not look at what's going on around us. Because these things are all distractions. Don't get too involved in any of that stuff. Focus on the goal. If you don't have a goal, I suggest you take some time and pray about it, because this is serious stuff. These are important things. It has to do with your life. It has to do with the quality of your own life. And I'm sure every one of us wants to grow. We don't want to just make it. We want to win well. It's not just a question of barely making it. No. I know that Jesus is coming for a glorious church. The Bible tells us that. And that should be the goal of the church. We want to be a glorious church. Every member, a glorious person, a son in glory, because he's going to be a glorious church. Let's become the people that God wants us to be. Let's give him what he paid for. Amen. Let's rise up from the place where we are and say, I'm going to do better than I have. And maybe we've done well. And we have done well as a church. We've done well. But you know what? There's another year ahead of us. And we don't want to camp where we are. We want to move on. We have an assignment. We have the same assignment that Paul had. We got to win souls. And we have an assignment to go around the world to win souls. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach this gospel. That's a big assignment. That's a big assignment. I tell you, I don't want to sit around and have meeting upon meeting. You know, let's have a meeting. Let's get all the pastors together. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to talk about this, talk. And think we've accomplished something because we had a meeting. No, we're not here to accomplish meetings. We're here to accomplish goals. There's a job that we need to do. We need to be there where the rubber hits the road. Say, we'll go. Every time I come back from a trip, I say, well, I hope I don't see the inside of an airplane again. I'm so tired. But you know what? We have a job to do. We have a job to do. Going into all the world, that's a big job. We have neighbors to reach. We have friends to reach. We have family to reach. We have a job to do. Wouldn't it be a wonderful goal to have, say, I want to see some of my family saved by the end of next year. And I'm going to pay the price for that. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to exercise self-control. But I want to see some of my relatives saved by the end of next year. I want to see my neighbor saved. I want to see that person that's struggling made well. And come out in victory. I'm going to pump the word of God in there. Because we know the word of God will bring the victory. And all we need to do is exercise self-control and be there. Put it in. Sow that seed. Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, you do it in season, out of season. Don't ever stop. There is no season that you can stop and rest. It's an ongoing thing. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Keep on preaching. Keep on talking. Don't stop. Don't stop. We take every opportunity to sow those seeds. Let's make a goal. Let's set ourselves a goal and say, I'm going to see some change by the end of next year. The stuff that I've been struggling with all my life will be over. We're heading for the glorious church. We're getting out of the stuff that we've been struggling with. And we can sit around and say life sucks and all of that. And you know, this is difficult and all of that. But we can also set a goal and say, I'm going to pay the price. Amen. I'm going to exercise self-control. I'm going to stop talking about all these things that go wrong and get into something that is right. Amen. There's a lot wrong in the world. We can talk about that. But let's get into what is right. Amen. And be single-minded about it. Amen. And get to the end of next year and say, boy, we're going to have a glorious testimony service. We're going to talk about this thing. Because with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. It can be done. It may be hard. It may cost us. But the reward is greater than the cost. Amen. Let's go for it. And let's begin the year with some healthy goals. Put some stretch into it. Now, don't make it too hard, but it has to be a little hard. But if you put silliness into it, you say, you know, make it totally out of reach for where you're at the moment, obviously, you're just going to disappoint yourself. But there has to be some stretch into it. Maintaining the status quo is not a goal. We need to do better than that. Personally. And so, looking back at this year, I don't know about you, but for many of us, that was a tough year. Boy, I tell you. Yeah, it just feels like being here is we've accomplished something. Yeah. It was a tough, tough year. It was hard. It was one challenge from beginning to end. But we won't be deterred by that. The time we lost, we need to make up. We'll do it next year. We fight. I spoke with another pastor the other day, somewhere else, not here locally, far from here. And he's facing some issues. And I said, well, you got to fight. He says, are you a fighter? I said, well, I'm a fighter. I have to fight. Boy, if we're not a fighter, you sink. We have to fight. We have to fight to move on. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul, every step of the way was a fight. But look at what he accomplished. A man who thought that he would be a good Pharisee became the greatest apostle we ever knew. Brought us all these revelations that we still dig into and discover all these wonderful gems of truth hidden for us in the scriptures. Rich heritage that he left us. 2,000 years later, we still marvel at the accomplishments of this man. And now the end of the ages has come upon us. And we need to end stronger. The church needs to end stronger than it began. Amen. Don't dream back of the day of Pentecost. We need to do better than that. We need to do better than that. We need to rekindle the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were given to us for a purpose. It's our tools that we have, power tools. Years ago, we didn't have the money to buy power tools. And I had a little drill, and I had to drill into concrete with a little hand drill. It took me a whole day. Then I got a power drill and I go, zick, and it's done. That is what the power gifts are for. It makes the job easy. Let's rekindle the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. We're well equipped to do what God gave us to do. It becomes a lifestyle of walking towards it step by step. You walk towards that goal. And you see it happening as you go. You see things change. It's within our own power to do it. God equipped us. Now we need to do the job. Let's all stand.